This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode of The Huddle is brought to you by the Athletic Club Oakland, my go-to sports bar in the East Bay. Look, this will be a shock to no one. I love watching sports, and I love it even more while at a sports bar. But to be honest, there is a long period of time where I just couldn't find one I actually liked. I'd find a spot that had TVs, but the food sucked ass, or a place that had good food, but they wouldn't show the game I wanted, and the inside felt dark and depressing. It was always some trade-off or sacrifice, and that's finally done now. The ACO is exactly what I'm looking for without sacrifice. They have a huge space, including an outdoor spot where they shut down an entire street and called it the Town Gardens. They have more than 100 televisions, which can and will show every game you ask for, and they have great food. The ACO has everything you need to comfortably watch your favorite team in any sport at any time with passionate fans. I love it, and I'm pretty damn sure you will too. The Athletic Club Oakland, where sports fans get everything they want every day they want it.
We're going to bring y'all to our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram. No Marcus today, but with me, per usual, my master of all things sound and video coordinator, Maxime.
How's it going?
Maxime, fired up to announce that rejoining us, honestly, after way too long, the co-host of the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game, a man who's used his knowledge and passion to become one of the brightest voices on the Bay Area sports airwaves, and a guy who I will selfishly text when he is broadcasting live on air and then sit nervously in my car hoping to God that he reads my text on air. Mr. Joe Butcher Boy Shasky, what's going on, Joe?
Oh, what's up? Maxine, that video at the beginning gave me chills. For real, though. Like, that was so cool. I mean, I've just nodded my head like, yeah, that Weber moment was incredible. One of my, not the, but one of my favorite players, Latrell Sprewell, giving him the outlet pass there.
Okay, Joe, so I so many things to follow up on there. And the first thing I want to throw out. So Joe's right. We're on YouTube now. If you aren't watching yet, you should be. Check it out. And one of the features, Maxime has given us an intro video. But here's the question I had for you, Joe. So we had to, put together all those things. We had to pick the highlights, that kind of shit. And I pulled that Weber one because I remember it. I remember the barbershop commercial. Mm-hmm. But also, if I'm being honest with you, I have a pretty negative relationship with Chris Weber. I still kind of hate him. I think it's weird that most Warrior fans don't. So right thing to include that? Should we have kept him out of the highlight package?
That was the only moment for like 15 years. I mean, between the Baron Davis, like seriously, outside of dunk competitions with Jay Rich, or, you know, I think it was Jay Rich throwing the ball off a Boozer's face in a rookie sophomore challenge. Like, we didn't have a whole lot. You know, I'm being real. So like, no, that was one of my favorite moments. And that barbershop Nike commercial was actually filmed down the street at Abner's over here, Excelsior Barbershop, on Geneva. So that one tugs at my heartstrings. And yes, Weber, don't start me on that. That was very frustrating. On the heels, last night they're wearing the Run TMC jerseys, which I absolutely love. And I actually got into it with Bonte this morning about it. I think that their modern version jersey that you see, you know, with like the Bay Bridge, the new extension, I think that's one of the weakest jerseys in their entire collection. And I think they've got five or six others, in my opinion, that are way sicker, that should be in the rotation full time over those ones.
You say this as if I wasn't listening. Here, I'll prove it to you. Your favorites are the cable car jerseys. You loved the cable car jersey. Mm-hmm. And if memory serves, you said you had a Nick Van Exel one, which was
I did,
which is an incredible take. And to really underline it and bring it back to where we started, Maxime, true story. So rewind this, man. I don't know. Couple months ago, not even that, a few weeks ago, Draymond has just punched Jordan Poole. I'm listening to Bonte and Joe break it down, and I throw them a text. Now, I pretended like it was nothing, like I didn't want them, you know, like it was just between me and them. The second I texted that, I fucking pulled over by my garage at work and sat like really, really, really hoping that they would say something. And Joe says,
check this text, and then I lost reception, dude. I lost reception for like 2 seconds. I couldn't fucking believe it. And then it comes back in and he was talking about it. And so that whole like me texting him live on air happened more than once. I'm a little embarrassed by it. It is what it is.
All my friends do it. It's all good. I do it to other hosts and they're like, dude, leave me alone. So don't even trip. I like it because what's the difference between me reading the YouTube chat, the text line, or reading a personal text? Like, bro, I think that's probably my number one thing when I look like across the media landscape. Too many people are like, let me tell you about your team. And I have my own strong opinions, but I like to hear what other people think because we've all been fans and we all have suggestions. And I don't think anyone's opinion is more intellectual, more knowledgeable than anyone else's. So to me, it's like all one big cookout, like BYOB, let's do this.
Do you mind if we recut that? We'll just start right back where you started. And this time you're going to say, Bram, I like your text the most. I really like, I only like reading yours. Whatever you're in right now, we can aim for that down the line. Boys, let's talk Warriors and let's go to our glass half full. Joe, you remember this, something you like, something you don't about recent Warriors hoop. And I was going to let you go first, but instead I'm going to follow up on something that you said, because it's the thing I don't like. All right. I didn't like Run TMC's takeover. Now, let me be specific, all right? I thought the boys were excellent. I loved listening to Timmy. I loved listening to Mully hosted. I loved all of their stories. I liked the back and forth. I liked the jerseys. I liked all of that. But it was a little off place. Here's what I mean. I get the feeling that when they scheduled that, they did it the same way the A's schedule firework games. You know, they thought that no one would be there for what was happening on the floor. The Spurs are trying to lose. The Warriors should be a back-to-back title contender. And so the Warriors probably looked at that and thought, all right, you know, give them a fucking bobblehead. Let's get TMC in here. The game isn't going to be the focus. And the actual announcing kind of showed that. You know, TMC was talking about their memories. The disconnect is because the Warriors are not in a good place, because the start didn't happen the way it should have, what was happening on the floor did matter. You know, we needed a win. I wanted to see them come through. And so the thing I didn't like about the TMC, again, I liked what they were talking about. I just would have preferred it had been over a game I didn't give a shit about because they didn't focus on any of the play. Now, am I wrong? You know, how'd you guys experience that?
No, it's an interesting point of view that I hadn't really considered. And, you know, I don't pretend to watch League Pass the way Bonte does. Bonte knows every team. I couldn't name but two guys on that roster for the San Antonio Spurs, right? And it's just like straight up, you know, like Jakob Poeltl's a name that the Warrior fans keep tweeting at me about. I deleted Twitter, thank God. But like they keep going, trade Wiseman for Jakob Poeltl. Jakob Poeltl stinks. Did you watch him last night? He stinks.
Oh, yeah.
He sucks.
You're not the only one alone, by the way. Mitch Richmond called him. I don't even know how to say his name. Like Rich Mitchman called him, but he had no idea who's on that roster either.
But like, I had no idea that this was going to be an energy pack game 3 weeks ago, but here we are. You know what I mean? And like, I hear what you're saying and you know, you're not going to get hard cutting analysis from Buki and Bob Fitzgerald either. But I agree, there was something there. Like, they're up 30. It's like, oh, thank God.
Yes.
They haven't been up 30 in what feels like forever. Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
Did you?
So I'm with you.
Was there any PTSD? So, like, I'll be completely transparent. It used to be when the Warriors were down, I'm waiting for them to win. Just a matter of time. Let the third quarter come around. We could be down 20. I don't give a shit. We are ultimately going to pull it out. That's how entitled I've become. Last night, when they got up 10, they got up 15, they got up 20, it was the opposite. I've got this PTSD response of like, oh my God, they're going to bring in the second unit and we're going to lose this. You know, it was, it shows how the shoe's on the other foot this season.
Yeah, I believe me, I hear you. And I just think that overall, my viewing experience was much more fresh because I didn't log into social media, right? Like, I do believe that I'm being honest. Like, I have probably been too addicted to my phone and social media in general. And it's also part of the job. But like taking a step back, I just enjoyed the broadcast for what it was. I tried to at least. And then like, thank God we're winning. And thank God Jordan Poole's going off. And then like, the hell's going on with Klay Thompson? Like, I have a lot of questions about this team right now, but I don't think the sky is falling, and I don't think it's all because of the kids. I think there's a lot going on this team right now.
Yeah, we'll use that as our transition. We haven't heard from you. So this audience has heard us, you know, that we've talked about things we like, things we don't. You can focus just on San Antonio or make it broader, man. Looking at the season at large, what do you like? What do you don't?
I mean, guys, I can't stop looking at the Warriors and thinking, like, something's off. Like, you know, when like two brothers get in a fight or two close friends get in a fight, like clearly the punch with Draymond Green is somewhere in the room. I don't know how much oxygen it's sucking up. It might be, you know, a smaller thing now, but I feel like they haven't gotten over it to some degree. Another element that I just can't something's going on with Klay Thompson. I think more so up in his head than it is physically, but there's also a physical thing here. Depreciating is one way to put it. Not right. Not trusting himself, gunning, trying to prove himself too much. Something's going on. And Jordan Poole is off early. And so all of those top three things have made everything else crazy. And what really drives me nuts right now is I do think the general Warrior fan who's a diehard is like trying to scapegoat the three youngsters, in particular James Wiseman. Yep. When I'm like, yo, wait a minute. The top six paid players on this team are the ones that are going to make this thing go. I would love the youngsters to have more of an impact. They're behind. I'm not here to cape up for the youngsters. They're not what they were. But let's not pretend like Bielitsa was lighting it up or Damian Lee was lighting it up, because every time those guys checked in, Warrior fans lose their minds last year. Yep. They're going to win and lose games because of the top six, all right? And right now, a couple of the top six are playing well. Looney, Draymond, Steph. Wiggins has been up and down, but I know what I'm going to get from Wiggins. Klay and Poole have been disastrous. Like, straight up, I expect more from them. And then, quite frankly, I think JaMychal Green is not very good. I think he's a big downgrade from Otto Porter Jr. Everybody's losing their mind about GP2. Like, they found GP2 on the scrap heap. Like, the team wanted Avery Bradley, not the fans. The team wanted Avery Bradley, and they cut GP2. So I feel like we're losing our minds about these ancillary pieces when I'm like, yo, the guy making $40 million a year, Klay Thompson, who I thought was going to be stronger and able to play a full season, just isn't there yet. Jordan Poole, who we all would have banked on at the end of April last year, isn't playing the brand of basketball he should. And I'm sorry, that's not going to get it done for this team right now. You can blame the youngsters, and yes, they're not as far along as I want, but like, these top dogs got to play better.
Working backwards, so I'll start with GP2.
Sorry, man, I was...
Not at all. No, go for it. Never apologize. I would like every ounce of passion we want into these mics. I'll start with GP2. So look, I'm like everybody else. I miss him. Also, he has not played a single quarter of basketball, not one. So, you know, if he was still here, if it somehow had worked out, the idea that this record would be different is preposterous. He's not playing yet. He literally has not played important at all. And as far as Klay, you know, the thing that continues to stick out in my mind and the reason why I share your concern, it isn't his struggles with shooting the ball. It isn't his struggles with defense. It was that blow up he had with Booker. And here's why. I get into fights all the time, dude. I lose my mind. People know I have emotional problems. But the time I scream the way that Klay screamed is when I'm the most off center, is when I'm not feeling comfortable with what's happening around me. If I'm confident in my environment, that's when I don't trip. I don't have to be. I'm on 2 feet. And his emotional response to that, just, it concerns me. It makes me feel like he knows that, you know, he's not only where he wants to be, but he's not where he should be even this early in the season. So I don't know. We'll find out how that plays. Maxime, what do you got, man? Something you like or didn't?
Well, first of all, I just want to piggyback on that, because I completely agree with you. Every single time Klay, it's becoming sort of a recurring theme that he says something to the effect of like, I feel like people aren't giving me enough credit for the amount of work I've done to try to get back. And I just wanted to come back. And there are these situations where public media people, like we know with Charles Barkley, we just talked about this on the last pod, have said some stuff that would make me feel terrible if I was Klay Thompson. I get it. But at the same time, fans, people in the Warriors organization, nobody is giving him anything but respect for coming back the way that he has. Dude is playing fantastic considering that he's come back from two catastrophic injuries. I want to give him time. I still believe that he's on an upward trajectory, not a downward trajectory. And by the end of the season, the same way we saw in the playoffs, we can expect Klay Thompson to be at least valuable and competent, if not all-star Klay, you know, second best shooter on an amazing dynastic team. But the fact that he continues to set up these narratives saying, oh, people are counting me out, like I wish they gave me a little bit more credit, means that he's in his own head. And that causes me a lot of concern.
You know, Maxine, let me get in here on this because it's interesting that you say that. I just don't think the version of Klay Thompson that we saw prior is coming back. I'm not saying he can't be a good contributing player. I just think his role needs to evolve. I look at him, and what made him so special alongside Steph Curry, the old version of him, was he could defend any perimeter player and lock them down for all 35 minutes he was on the court. And he'd have enough legs to run off ball left and right, underneath the hoop all day. You know, they do that slingshot play, him and Steph Curry. I don't think that guy's coming back. Now, Ray Allen wasn't the same Ray Allen when he went down to Miami that he was when he was with the Bucks or the Seattle Supersonics later on in his career. I expect you to evolve. I think where they're getting into trouble right now for Klay Thompson is, to me, he's a stretch four. And I don't mean like – this is a very positionless basketball team. But what I'm saying is that him guarding ones, it's not coming back. Can you throw him on a guy late in the game and he'll get a stop here and there? Yes. Yes. There's no – he will have his moments. Is he going to have a 25, 30-point game? It's coming. We all know it's coming. The floodgates will open. I think the difference is now it's not as consistent. You're not going to see it as often. And that's where I'm a little concerned, because I think the last guy to know is the mirror. You know, and in this particular circumstance, I just wish that he would embrace the evolution of where he's at. I'll give you an example of Navarro Bowman. Navarro Bowman came back from catastrophic knee injury. He just wasn't the same guy. Yep. And he still had a really nice year. He had a really nice year, but he wasn't the same dude. If Klay can accept and I'm not saying he's got to go to the bench. We use the B word. I'm just a different version of himself. I think they would be in a better place. And I think he's trying to prove too much too quickly. And it's messing with him. I also underrated how emotional he is. Yeah. I think he's low key, ridiculously emotional, which is great. You know, he does this thing where he's like deadpan Klay. I think he's more emotional than that. Yeah. And that's totally fine. I just wish he would embrace it a little more.
I don't think we have to guess. We've seen it. We've seen the emotion in his response to Barkley. We saw his emotion in his response to Booker. I mean, the most positive version of this conversation is we know the Warriors can win a championship with this version of Klay, because they did last
year.
You know, I mean, they've done it, but what they've lost is that defensive support. Because, Joe, you're right. You know, he's not the perimeter defensive stopper he used to be, and we don't have – you know, I remember what I just said, but we don't have GP2, and the young guys, the Kamingas of the world, have not yet stepped up that defensive pressure. So we'll see if they get there. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm sitting on our golden questions, and I know there's a couple about Klay. So let's get to those. This is our mailbag, Joe. Here's our first quote. After a less than successful start to the season, Big Jim is being sent to the G League. Please weigh in on these cascading questions for the podcast. Let me pause for a second. I've always liked the nickname Big Jim. Nicely done. And I like the term cascading questions. Nicely phrased, guy. Here are the cascading questions. Actually, shit, before I even get there, just softball. Wiseman going to the G League. What do you guys think? Are we happy? Are you upset? You know, you disappointed? What's the initial thought?
Yeah, I'm stoked on it. It's the right call. There's a lot of characters that need to be carefully managed on this Warriors squad. And the more you're hearing, you know that it's getting to somebody like Wiseman. Oh, is it time to trade him? Is he a bust? Now that he's actually had playing time, you can't just sit behind a curtain of, well, I'm out, I'm injured, this is not what's happening. Yeah, of course people are pissed, but wait till they see me back on the court. We're seeing him back on the court. It's not translating, especially on the defensive end. Kerr is now saying, look, he just needs to get reps. It's tough because we're not a bottom feeding team where he just gets to get thrown out there for 30 minutes a night and figure his stuff out. He needs the reps. So it's an ideal situation, but it is a very tenuous one. If he goes to the G League and doesn't come back at least a little bit better than when he sent down, you know, we're going to start getting closer and closer to the trade deadline, and the talk of trades are going to get louder and louder.
I don't know if you had any trade value left. I'll sneak in an opinion real fast here and then turn it to Joe. I'll tell you what, if you'd asked me this, how I feel about it, and it happened at halftime of last night, I'd be a little disappointed. I want to see him develop and, you know, get some minutes with the big club. But then they put him in last night. They put him in with like 2-3 minutes left, and he got the type of ovation that's normally used in college for a walk-on player. People were just happy to see him come on. And his facial expression screamed that he didn't like it, that he was kind of embarrassed by it, and it was like it was a weird thing for him. So if that's what's happening, if he doesn't like being at the end of the bench guy, and what he needs is the kind of shine that going to the G League is, then fucking fine. Go. You know, get as many minutes as you can get there. How about you, Joe? First impact, what do you think?
I feel so bad for the kid on like a personal level. This guy's just been getting crushed disproportionately, might I add, by social media. And I don't think, like, my dad does not hate James Wiseman and love LaMelo Ball the way the internet does. Like, a handful of very loud people losing their minds about LaMelo Ball when none of them wanted LaMelo Ball. No one wanted LaVar Ball's dad anywhere near the Golden State Warriors, okay? Don't give me your Isaac Okoras and your Wagners. If they would have drafted Wagner, everyone would have lost their minds, all right? Let's just call it what it is. Like, yes, he has been underwhelming. I wanted to go on the court and hug him. I felt so bad. He needs a champion in that locker room. He needs someone to stick their arms around him. I don't know if you guys listen to Jordan Poole in the postgame. Jordan Poole has grown so much as a person, and I was listening to him talk about, like, it's going to be great for him. He needs to do this. He needs to get touched to start feeling good about himself. This kid's confidence is not – it's not gone. It's evaporated. It's completely non-existent. I feel so bad for him. And the internet is so cruel, and I don't think it's fair at all. This kid has just been absolutely roasted. Bielitsa could barely get on the court last year as one of our backup bigs. And people are talking like he was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And this kid is Anthony Bennett, who literally couldn't play for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I feel horrible. I just watched the Spurs. You guys watch the Spurs. Wiseman would be one of the best players on the Spurs. And that's not saying much. But, like, that's where we're at right now. And this goes back to, like, again, unfair criticism of these young. He's 21. He does need to play. He does need fundamentals. He does need to get better at catching the ball. His IQ and awareness on, like, the pick and roll as a defender is horrific right now because he hasn't played enough. And listening to the TMC broadcast last night, they were talking about training camps. They did 32-a-days, okay, where they're in the gym playing basketball 30 days in a row, two times, two different sessions. They don't do that anymore. There's very little practice. Yep. So development at the NBA level is non-existent. Development is in the games, right? And, like, you got to show some confidence. I feel horrible for the kid. And I'm here's the thing. Everyone's going to sell their Wiseman stock, and I hope they do. I'll buy it all up. Yep. I'm banking on this kid because he freaking cares, all right? And I know this may not be the situation for him. I may end up looking so stupid. They may end up trading him for an expiring contract like Miles Turner. I am pulling for the kid. He needs someone to champion him, and I'm fucking pissed at the way Warrior fans have treated a 21-year-old kid. Bram, would you want your children treated on the internet the way this kid's been treated?
No, of course not. Well, and you know, it doesn't have to be a parent.
Sorry.
Look at this. I'm going to back you. Think of it as a fan. For those of you out there who've been shithousing him publicly, you're not helping the team. You're not fucking helping him. This is a kid who has rabbit ears. You can see it. He's taking it hard. He's aware of the criticism. What that suggests is that if there's some positive reinforcement out there, he'd be aware of that too. It just might help him. And we were up on that Jordan Poole postgame. Here's Jordan Poole talking about Wiseman's move to the G League.
The outside noise is what would make it tough. It's everybody's opinion. Everybody has something to say. Honestly, no one cares what they think, right? So James is going to have to be laser focused. And I think we know that he is more than anything. And like I said, he's a special talent. He's gifted. He's humble. And he has all the right tools to be successful, you know. And I'm going to tell him to go down there and shoot 50 shots, be aggressive, get techs, hang on the rim, do it all, right, just so he can understand what he wants to be at the highest level. And this is just a step in that direction, you know. And everybody in the locker room is encouraging him and has his back whenever he has questions. And it'll be good. The outside.
Is it weird that every time we show video, I get secretly happy? It makes me feel like this podcast is far more important. I love JP's take, man. You know, he is becoming a professional, and he kind of backed what we were saying there, you know?
Dude, I did post-game shows 2020 and 2021, and then the year before that, 2019, 2020, when I believe it was JP's rookie year, the COVID year, essentially.
Yeah.
I fielded calls all day and all night. Jordan Poole is not an NBA player. That's what I didn't even know what he was. I'm not saying, look, that's an outlier. To do what Jordan Poole did, I want to acknowledge it. Like, go down to the G League multiple times and come back and ascend as a late first round pick. It's pretty remarkable. But here's the thing that I would say to a lot of Warrior fans. They're driving me nuts. And I'd say this to Draymond Green too. Draymond, Steph, and Clay, they were afforded luxuries on a team that wasn't a contender to be able to play through mistakes. What these young kids, Kuminga, Moody, Wiseman, whoever it is, what they're being asked to do, go out there, make zero mistakes. And if you do, you're fucking sitting on the bench and you ain't going to see the light of day. And you're the reason we're losing. Even though I'm making $40 million, you're the reason we're losing. And I just, I don't think people grasp like the reality of how ridiculous that sounds in real time.
Any skill. Let's say speaking a new language. Let's say I want to learn Spanish, Joe, and I'm allowed to do it until I make one mistake, and then I have to stop. I'm out. I'm not allowed to practice anymore. Then they give me the next day. I get, you know, two words in and fuck up. Out. You got to stop. How long is it going to take me to learn how to speak? It's going to be forever. Yes. And that's not even competitive. What if people were trying to stop me? So, of course, this is slowing them down. I'll follow up on something else you said. You are right. It's not a usual thing for people to have to go to the G League. But it's happened with the Warriors. And it wasn't just JP. Kevon Looney.
Yep.
Loon came here. And everyone kind of gave up on him and thought that he wasn't an NBA player. And then he went to the G League, spent some time, came back. Is now, you know, Kevon Olujuwon. You know, same thing with JP. So it's a little early to completely shithouse Wiseman. But let's get to the cascading questions. Here's the first. How many games will Wiseman play in the minors? Over, under, 10. I think I take the over. I think he's going to be there for a while. What do you guys think?
I'm going to go over as well for the time being. It sounds like he's going to be on there for at least 10 days. That was what I was told. At least 10 days. So you're probably looking at 5-6 games, and they'll probably extend that stay. Again, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I think that this kid needs a full reclamation project mentally, number one. And then all the other things will fall into – dude, confidence is a crazy thing. I mean, it really is.
That's what made JP's quote about hang on the rim and get some texts.
Yes. So great.
You know, because he's not just talking about get reps, catch the ball, you know, see what the system is. He's talking about completely rehash your mindset. Get in there. Remember that you're a star. Maxime, over under 10.
Yeah, let's hope it's over, right? I mean, then it's a good sign. It means that things are going well because, as Joe said, I think we got, you know, there's a few days off for him to practice when he's down there and then the games start up. So you expect him to have 4 or 5 games before the end of this 10-day stretch. If he comes back and it seems like improvement, you know, that's going to be a mental as well as a physical improvement, which means, hey, something's working here. That'll make him feel good. And it's a positive feedback loop. So he would probably want to go back down there and continue on this journey. And especially when you have somebody like Jordan Poole, who's on the other side of this success story, who's now gotten the huge contract, who has the bobblehead, right? He's like, he has proven that this formula works, and he's in, I'm sure, Wiseman's ear on and off the media stand. So there is a full precedent for him and the ability for him to kind of deal with all of the nuances that come with having to go back and forth. I'm sure it's not going to be easy, but I think over time, I hope if it's over 10, that means that he's doing really well.
Talk me off this ledge, all right? Here's why I've decided to be worried about this. You guys tell me why I'm wrong. Jordan Poole goes down there and it's all you can eat. Should be. And incidentally, that's pretty much the role he's going to play with the Warriors when he comes back up as the second unit guy, you know, as the heir apparent to Steph. They want him to take as many shots as you can, get to the basket, do all of that. So put differently, when he went to Santa Cruz, he learned exactly what the Warriors wanted him to do. You come back here, you can apply it. If Wiseman goes down and does what JP's talking about, hang on the rim, get 50 shots, all of that, that's not the role he's going to have here. That's not what they want. They want him to be fucking JaVale McGee. They want him to be a confident JaVale McGee, but they don't want him working on his back to the basket. You know, that's not the role he's going to occupy when he comes back up to the big club. So if he goes down there and they're force feeding him and he's putting up all those shots, can it still help him? You know, is this concern off base?
No, I think it's totally fair. I mean, this is one of my big concerns, style of play, right? The way he plays, the way they're wanting him to play down in Santa Cruz versus the way the Warriors play. Here's what I would say too, though. The second unit doesn't really have an identity right now for the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
Sure as hell would be nice to have a big man that you could throw the ball to at the block and get some buckets there and have some split action based off that. One thing I think we've underrated, the kid can pass a little. We're making it out like, I know he's stone hands, this, that, and the other, but he can pass a little, and he's extremely athletic, and I do think he's emotionally intelligent, almost too emotionally intelligent. That's why I think some of the criticisms get to him. Like Phil Mickelson talked about this in golf. You're either dumb as a rocks and you're great, or you're almost too smart for your own good. And I feel like sometimes basketball players can be the same way. But I totally hear you on this. I just think he's so low right now on everything that's in his mind. He needs something to feel good about. And I pray he goes down there and dominates. And then I hope when he comes back, put him at the right lineup. Don't play him next to Jamichael Green. I'm out on Jamichael Green. I'm just out on that whole experiment. Why are we trying to fit this guy into a specific, like Kelly Oubre is a great example. Kelly Oubre did not pass. I charted it. He passed twice in a four-game span. Twice. It's like impossible the amount of times he dribbled the ball. But like, I'll say this, embrace what the hell he does do well. He gets to the rim. He jumps up in the air. He's going to slash. So make the most of what you've got. And I do think at times Kerr's a little too rigid for me. And I love Kerr. He's an all-timer. But that's one of my criticisms on him. I don't think he embraces what certain people can do really, really well.
No, that's fair. And you don't have to be good at all things to be a great basketball player. They never asked Shaquille O'Neal to shoot the three, and he's still one of the best centers of all time. You know, so it's a matter of seeing how they can participate. Here is our last.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Cascading question for Wiseman, and it's kind of like a judgment theater one. Quote, some players take advantage of this situation and come back stronger than ever. See Jordan Poole. Some take the demotion to heart and never really recover. Which of those personalities do you guys have? So don't answer. Make it a guessing scenario. You can speak with me first. So let's see. I start off the season. It's shitty. Doing real poor. They put me to the G League to get my reps. Do I use that as like motivation? I'm ready. Did I want to prove people wrong? Or am I in my feelings a little bit and never really recover?
I think you're in your feelings a little bit, but I do think you recover because I can tell that you're a very resilient individual. I think you're going to go down there and show off.
Maxime?
Yeah, but here's, I think you recover like on a different team, right? You lose, you're like, you know what? Fuck these guys. And you put in a trade request, you know, like, yeah, that's my thoughts.
Yeah, I'd recover in a different sport. I'd be crying for fucking weeks, dude. I'd call my mom. I'd send you guys hella text messages. There'd be a bunch of conversations with myself like, no, you are good. They don't know. And then like, I would never actually believe it. I'd like a bunch of like screaming in the mirror and being super upset. So no, I would not recover. I am not Jordan Poole. Hopefully Wiseman's not like me. Let's guess for Maxime. You're like me. I don't know if you'd cascade the same way I would, if you'd like completely crater and be like super pissy, but I don't think it would be a redemption story. I think you'd go down the same way I would.
I don't know. I think Maxime would embrace it. I think he would be all about it. I think he'd be loving life. You quite honestly, yourself. I can actually, with the hair slicked back the way he's got it right now, I'm getting Santa Cruz vibes from him right now. I really am.
Another guest said he looked like Nick Wright. Are you getting any Nick Wright?
Oh my god! Oh my god! You got better hair than Nick Wright though.
Why I'm growing it out. Yeah, so when that happened, it's like, listen, I got to differentiate somehow.
I'm going to start just saying that Nick Wright's on this show and featuring our master of all things, Nick Wright. What's the answer, Maxime?
So, yeah, I mean, I would absolutely tank my way because I don't want to be in Golden State. I want to be down in Santa Cruz. Like, that's, you know, it's the beach life. Not. I think that's a hilarious idea that, like, I actually just want to be in Santa Cruz. I just went through this. I just went through this situation. I got some tough feedback at work. I realized I needed to grow as a person. There were a couple of days that did not feel good. I went on some long walks. I had some talks with myself. But then I eventually said, hey, this is actually a great opportunity for me to succeed. And here's the thing. Here's the thing is that I took some feedback. I worked on something. I brought this new skill into the workplace that I'd been sort of incubating on the side. And when I had some success with it and got some positive feedback, like the degree to which it catapulted my excitement and enthusiasm for work was like just magnified, right? So I think back to the point of like, sure, yeah, you're getting him to get his reps in the G League, and that's not what we're asking him to do when he goes back to Golden State. If he has one possession where he gets to, you know, put his back to the basket, you know, bully some guy down and then turn around and dunk it on him, and that's a success, that's going to feel so good. He doesn't need to do that over and over again. He just needs to do it one time, and he's going to be like, oh, cool, it's paying off. It's working for me.
I love the way that you wrapped that into Wiseman, but I hated your fucking redemption story and how it went really well for you. I feel like way out on a limb, and this is going to bother me too. So I'd like to take shots at Joe. I'd like to tell you that no, he'd crater too, since he basically told that to me, but I can't. I think Joe would definitely rebound. I feel it'd be like fucking Rocky. He would hear Eye of the Tiger in his mind and get all fired up and then come flushing back out with no problem, which sucks. But I do think that's what would happen.
Oh, Jesus. You guys want to hear a real story here? When I first got into radio, you know, I was guns blazing. And like, you know, when you're in the corporate world, you're like, you're worried about your livelihood and this, that, and the other. And you don't want to say or do anything that could jeopardize your career, you know? Well, when I got into the radio portion, I'm like, I'm going to be unfiltered me 110%, and I'm going to live and die that way. And I would fire off emails when I was working nights and weekends. I'm better than this guy, this guy, this guy. I need to be on. This is why you guys stink. And the boss was so mad at me. And we were actually joking like recently. I'm like, see, you didn't even want to freaking hire me, you know, for like a full-time position. And now look where we're at. You know what I mean? And then going full circle, my arrogance is so ridiculous. I caught myself saying to a pastor recently, we were in front of a bunch of guys. He's the USC pastor. I said something accidentally to the effect of, yeah, we're the number one show in the Bay Area right now. We kick ass. Like, it was the most asinine, arrogant, cocky thing that's ever come out of my mouth. And Lucas Alexander, who's the producer of the Damon Rattle Show, will not let me live it down. And he's like, I cannot believe you freaking said that to a pastor. What a douche.
Well, here's what you don't know. I occasionally mention to anyone who listens, I text into the number one show all the time. And so I don't know if you guys find that impressive, but it is what it is. So what's the ultimate answer though, Joe? Would you, if you get demoted, you get thrown to the G League, are you coming, you know, screaming back? Are you motivated or are you hurt?
I take every slight to the fullest of heart. And I use everything as motivation. Like, to this day, there's a guy who used to run the station at 95.7 The Game who told me, you're never going to work in this industry ever again. I think about him all the time. And I feel like Jordan at the Hall of Fame speech, thinking about the high school coach that cut him. This guy, I want, like, when I see him, I'm like, now what? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what's up now? Brandon Tierney, who was working at the station at the time. No, I cannot. You will never work in this industry. Yeah, Brandon, you're in New York and I'm freaking running San Francisco. Suck it. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. I know there's kids there. I apologize.
We've got a comment here from our boy Thomas, both Patreon supporter and is watching us on the YouTube here. Joe would burn down the building and start a new team. Probably true. It's weird that nobody commented to be like, no, Bram would definitely come back stronger than ever. Seems like there's just uniform accepting of that. To our second golden question, boys, quote, the Warriors have been waiting to hold a pool party for weeks and finally got to last night with JP in the starting five instead of Klay. Should the Warriors consider a permanent switch? Joe, you already kind of talked about a new role for Klay. What do you think, man? Good idea to put him to the bench?
So I struggle with this one because I don't think there's an appropriate answer right now. I think it's fluid. People put way too much stock into who starts, like just in general. And we use the B word, bench, like it's baseball or it's football. You're never going to play. You're going to sit on the bench. You're never going to play. Do people know Ginobili made a Hall of Fame career out of coming off the bench? He didn't play the first like 3 minutes of the game. So what? Like, who cares? And then he would come in and he'd face primarily first stringers and then at times second stringers. And then he would close games. Same thing with Andre Iguodala. And he made that famous with the Golden State Warriors. He had been started his whole career. I think we put way too much emphasis on this. Here's where I think they're in a kind of tricky situation. To me, I don't love Jordan Poole alongside Steph Curry to start games because you give up a lot defensively and there's this lack of size.
Yep.
In my mind, it makes more sense with Moody, but I don't think he's earned it. And I also don't think I know what I'm really accomplishing just starting Moody to just have Klay come off for a couple of minutes. But I do know this. Klay takes – and there's a lot of people like this in their profession. He takes so much worth in being a starter. And I can tell that this is something that matters to him. So if that's the greater good and if I have a risk losing Klay, then so be it. I think I have to start him for that reason. Here's where I think it gets tricky, guys. And I don't think people view it this way. I view Draymond Green as a four. I view Kuminga as a four. I view right now Klay Thompson as a version of a three or a four.
Yep.
Wiggins can also play four at times, depending on what the lineup is. Who the hell knows if Iggy's coming back? Anthony Lamb's kind of like a four. They got a log jam at the four. That's the way I view it right now. And I would try to do everything that I can to develop Moses Moody so that he can be that perimeter defender early in games to throw on a Booker so that Klay can pick and choose his spots late in games to go on someone so that Wiggins doesn't get worn down throughout the year. They dramatically need defensive lockdown dude, Moses Moody. That's the guy that I'm looking at. But I do think I would tinker with some of these lineups. I don't know what the answer is. Is it Looney out? Maybe it's Draymond off the bench. Like, I don't know. I'm open to anything. Some people put way too much stock in it and they think it's sacrilegious. I'm just trying to make this team better and win games and get to the freaking championship.
I'll work backwards. Let's start with Moody.
Credit. Sorry, I'm all over the place.
No, stop apologizing. Anything you have to say, we want to hear. I'll start with Moody. All right. Moody shows or proved his mental toughness to me. Let me go back to Wiseman. We know Wiseman has athleticism and hand-eye coordination. Look to his first few games, his first season. We had those plays where he was pulling down rebounds and going coast to coast. The lack of playing time has had him regress, which I can associate with. You guys just heard me tell you that when I get demoted, I don't necessarily get back up. But Moody had piled up a bunch of DNPs. We weren't sure why, but he hadn't been playing. When he came in last night, he hadn't fucking regressed. He was ready. He hit every wide open three. He was ready to go. I loved him. Lamb. Competent guy.
Yeah.
I've gone from what the hell is he doing out there to I'm happy to see him. He's like Draymond. Yes, he's like Draymond with a jump shot. He doesn't play the same level of D, but he's fairly versatile and can hit it, which brings us back to the first point. Klay sitting or coming off the bench for JP. So let me say first, the idea of messing with the lineup, of course that's on the table. Look no further than the head of the snake, Steph. Steph comes back in the playoffs last year. The playoffs off the bench. The second, you know, a top five guy in the fucking league, the face of the franchise, you know, the most talented person to have ever worn a Warriors jersey is willing to come off the bench. Well, then everybody else has to be willing to come off of it. So, and then I'll also say, I like the entertainment value of Klay off the bench. Can you imagine how many fucking shots he would take? He's never seen a shot he doesn't like with the starting five. You know,
we'd
like
be great with that, wouldn't you?
I'd say, yes, I would. And the only thing, well, I'll add two because you had a great point. The reasons why I don't think they should do it yet. One, which you said about how it could impact his mental state, had not considered, and I think that's really important right now. You know, if he's taking this criticism to heart, maybe putting him to the bench right now isn't the best move. But two, the other problem we're having is we're teaching everybody new roles. I'm not sure it's the best idea to also ask Klay to have a new role right now. You know, let's figure out what the rest of these guys can do before we start shifting up the other concrete roles they do know how to perform.
And Maxine, I'll throw it to you in a second, but like I look at someone like Kevin Love. Kevin Love is probably bought 3, 4, 5 more years. I don't know, however many he wants to play, embracing the role off the bench. Think about Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony was out of the league because he was too stubborn to realize. And I'm not saying we're there right now with Klay, but whoever it is, it can be Draymond. It can be, you know, insert player X. If you embrace an evolving role, you can be a big time piece to a championship. Look at Ray Allen in Miami. I get it because the ego, but like, God, if you just take a step back. How many checks has Iggy cashed playing in situational basketball? Like,
of course you're right. Of course, dude. The starting five matters to teams that are in like eighth, ninth place. You want it to come out. Who finishes the game? The finishing five is what matters to title contenders. You know, and so like, yeah, I mean, there's some shine that comes with that starting five, but it's not the most important thing when you're playing for chips. You know, Maxime, where's this hitting you?
Yeah, first of all, just to go back to the quote about Curve basically saying, yeah, Jordan Poole definitely functions a little bit better in the starting lineup. I feel like there is, you know, Curve is very media savvy. He's been doing this a long time. He knows that podcasts are going to be talking about this quote. There's some thought that went into him deciding to say that at this point. I don't know if he's setting the stage for some eventuality or not, but I just think it's really interesting that we're at this inflection point and that we hear those words come out of him. So that's part one of my thoughts here. Part two, I mean, I completely agree. It's not the right time. It would absolutely decimate Klay. However, I do think, you know, I've been thinking this whole time. You remember that Kaiser Permanente commercial with Klay playing chess against himself? As much as he doesn't like to admit that right now that he's in an emotionally vulnerable place, I actually really do trust him to be an emotionally strong and emotionally intelligent person who is the type of person to be like, oh yeah, I'm playing chess with myself. He's going to get back to that state. He is the type of person too. Should we get to a critical time come the playoffs where we kind of need him to come off the bench where things still aren't really working, he's going to be the first to accept it because like you said, he saw Steph doing it. I think there's precedent there, but I think he's also more likely than almost anybody else on the roster to take that because he wants to win a championship just as bad as anybody else. So if we get to that place, Steve Kerr has primed the stage for this to happen. Klay is a little bit less emotionally vulnerable than he is right now. Look, there's no need to do it yet. Right? Let him get his reps on. But if he does need to take a step back, I think he is going to be willing to do it.
Anybody out there who's watching this for the first time and thinks that was Nick Wright giving positive Warrior takes, that's not Nick. I know he looks a lot like that's not Nick in any way, shape, or form. It just is what it is. Don't be distracted, please.
Can we all agree the Klay Thompson thing it's big. Like there's something here, and it's as much as the Draymond punch looms over everything. Jordan and Clay, and I said this to Bonte off air, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, this isn't going to go away. And I'm not saying that there is an answer or an easy fix, but clearly they need both of them. That's the thing I think lost in the sauce of who starts. They need both of these dudes to be able to get another championship.
Of course, you're right. It's so right that I'm not even going to follow up because it makes me sad to talk about. And I've said into this microphone, Joe, that if this is the new level of who Klay Thompson is and they pay him $40 million, not a championship roster. You know, there's some holes there that hopefully he will fill as he starts getting better. Instead, I'll tell you guys this, or at least ask you about it. You remember that commercial? I think it was for the Bay Area News Group that showed Klay reading a newspaper, sitting in the middle of a fucking cart with his legs crossed. Has anybody ever sat in the middle of an empty court and like, what can I do now? I'm going to read a full newspaper. Like whoever it was who wrote that, I don't understand where they drew inspiration from. Like, why'd you put him on a basketball court?
I it's funny you reference that because I actually referenced the other day, and I believe this. One of the great images of the San Francisco Giants dynasty was a fan showing up in 2015 opening weekend in LA with the Chronicle in the front row, and it said Dynasty.
That's right. I remember championships, that.
And he's reading it. I don't even think he's reading it. And it's the first inning of the game, and he, you know, it's like Panda or whoever's about to bat. And in the background is this guy, feet up, reading the newspaper. I think that's one of the all-time great walk-offs by a fan ever.
Well, I'm sure that they considered some like ad that took advantage of that, and they had Klay Thompson sitting in the middle of fucking center field reading the newspaper for absolutely no reason. Boys, our final question. Quote, Kuminga recently posted a quote from LeBron essentially saying, fuck the haters. Is this a good thing or bad thing for Warriors fans? So this is something, Joe, I'm not sure if you've seen yet, that he posted to his Instagram, I believe.
How do you that so many people are happy to see you fail?
Absolutely not. Because at the end of the day, all the people that was rooting on me to fail, you know, at the end of the day, they got to wake up tomorrow, have the same life that they had before they woke up today. You know, they got the same personal problems that they had today.
So again, we heard LeBron's voice, but that was put out there by Jonathan Kuminga. Joe, what do you think, man? Should we be happy? Has he found motivation? Is this a middle finger to the Warrior fans who've been dropping criticism on him? How do you interpret this?
I interpret this. This is part and why I deleted Twitter off my phone. Social media is so negative. It was making me angry. Now, I don't pretend to have any level of fame on the same level of a Jonathan Kuminga. And I know Jonathan doesn't pretend to have any fame on the level of a LeBron James, but there's only so much someone can take without it hitting you and hurting you. You have to be a pretty soulless individual to not get hurt by some of the negative comments. Yeah. And what really bugs me is that there's just so much hate and so much vitriol by a handful of anonymous accounts that will continue to berate you. It's impossible to not feel it. I want to be liked. I freely admit it. I say this all the time. People can say like, oh, like Tupac, F everybody, and blah, blah. It is human nature to want to be liked and loved. I don't care who you are. Now, some people, very few, are wired like they don't need all that. I truly believe the majority of human beings want to be loved and embraced by people. That's the way I operate. Okay. And it is really difficult for someone like Jonathan Kuminga to navigate social media. And you've got people in your inner circle. You're the man. You've got guys on your team. You're not ready, or coaching staff. You're not ready. Then you have social media. You're the reason we're 6-8. Like, it, and then I'm just giving you the abridged nice edition. You know what I mean? Like, these people must get so much hate everywhere they go. I don't know how young athletes do it. I'm being honest. Like, I talked with my nephews and nieces about this who are young athletes. Don't post anything on social media, but it's impossible for them when they have the level of fame that these NBA guys have to stay off of it. And their generation grew up with it. I am not mad at him, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I don't think people realize how much freaking anonymous hate is out there. I don't have the right answer because young people love social media and they get intoxicated by the likes and the retweets and stuff. So I feel for these kids. I legitimately do. The older I get, I feel for them.
I don't understand anonymous hate towards the players whom you are rooting for. And let me add some background to that. So we get hate mail, dude. I read it on this show occasionally.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as it bothers me, can I understand it? Sure. Talking shit anonymously, you know, and then and being able to be it either from jealousy or from whatever the hell it is, I can understand the idea behind it. They're not necessarily rooting for this podcast. So if their negative shit makes a negative impact on us, why would they care? Off you go, right? But if I'm rooting for the Golden State Warriors, if that's what's up, I would like them to win a championship. I want to see these players develop. And then I go into a public forum and talk as much shit as I can against these players who I would like to develop. What's the upside?
I know.
What are you hoping to see happen? You know it's not going to make them feel better. You know it's not going to relate in any kind of positive thing. So I don't understand why it goes down. As far as this take, I guess I'm hardened by it. Here, let me put it this way. I just want to see him motivated. Kuminga, unlike Wiseman, I'm still 100% on board for. I think this guy has the exact body type we need. I think that he is still tapping into it. And I think that if there's anything we can do as fans to support him, let's do it, man. And if, you know, if he can use the hate, then you can use the hate.
You know, I think another element that we have completely underrated as a media is the learning curve for these people that are from other countries coming to this country. Okay, and getting handed millions of dollars, and there's already a cultural learning curve. I think of like Yasiel Puig. I know he's going through some things off the, you know, with some gambling and stuff, whatever. This guy had to flee Cuba, okay, swim in shark infested waters, and the cartel had to be paid off so that he could get, you know, illegally smuggled essentially into America so he could sign with a baseball team. Now, it's not as dramatic with Jonathan Kuminga. But he left his home country and didn't see his family for 5 or 6 years. He came to this country not only to play basketball, but to uplift generations of his family out of poverty. And, you know, TRX175 says, "You suck, bro. You're the reason why we're losing." It's like this dude is like literally trying to like he doesn't even have a license. I don't even know if he has a license. Can he even drink? I can't even get my 22-year-old nephew to get out of bed and give me a freaking call at 11:30 in the afternoon. And this guy is playing in the NBA. Like, I don't know what compels people. Like, Jonas Jerebko is a great example. I thought Jonas Jerebko stunk, okay? Yeah. I didn't log on to social media and be like, "Jonas, you suck, and you can't play, and you're terrible, and I root against you every minute you're on the court." Like, no, I want Jonas Jerebko to have a couple moments like Bjelica did in the finals so I can play the Bia Bia song and he can be a champion forever. Like, isn't that what we all want? We want parades down Market Street for crying out loud.
Of course, you're right. Also, I'll have you know, for those of you who may have heard that song, my dog is apparently vomiting in my office, so that's a giant bonus. Yep, there you go. He successfully finished that. That is disgusting as shit. I'll have you also know that every time you say Bjelica or anybody else in my life says Bjelica, I hear your fucking voice saying Bia Bia. And I will never, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. It's maybe just a weird thing. You know, I'm not totally sure what to do with that. Maxime, while my dog finishes his health problems here, what's your Kuminga take?
My goodness. Sorry, Bo. That's a shitty experience for everybody, and I'm sure it's not smelling great in there right now. Look, I think there is absolutely a difference between criticism and it could be constructive criticism, right? But just criticism versus looking for an opportunity to go viral based on negative feedback. And what we know, I mean, social media algorithms are designed for people to get boosted and get seen by more people, the more it's controversial. And so we have bred into our society, into our social media society, mechanisms by which you're actually rewarded for just kind of being a dick and talking trash. So you have a bunch of people. This is an international fan base at this point. And so what you get is an international bandwagon on top of it of all these people. And it's not just bandwagon positive fans. It's people that are jumping onto the bandwagon to get their voices projected out into this space. And we've gotten really good at figuring out ways to do this. So I'm just going to, you know, quickly, while we're here, make a plug in for this book, 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts Right Now. It's especially with Elon Musk taking over Twitter. Never been a better time to check this out, to understand the mechanisms behind why there's these problems, and do some considering as to how much you want to participate.
Are these fools advertising on the pod, or is this just a fucking
100% right? 100% right.
No, I love this. You know, but this is interesting because I find this really crazy when it comes to the NBA in particular. We're obsessed with the transaction, and we're not even fans of teams. It feels like we're fans of certain players. And I'm not saying you guys, just in general on social media. There's LeBron fans and Steph stans and this, that, and the other. Not Warrior fans. I knew the moment when I needed to delete Twitter off my phone because it was making me angry. It was in the middle of Friday night's game, Cleveland. Klay hits a huge three in the corner. I'm like, good for Klay. Now, I love the communal aspect of Twitter. That's what lured me in. Yep. Middle of the game, I'm live tweeting, wow, great, you know, Kuminga dunk or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, Cody Ross hit a three-run homer. Yep. Like, I love that. Or just getting off some of my opinions. You know what I mean? And, like, I didn't take it very serious. The moment I knew I got to get off here, people were dissecting the demeanor of the youngsters as we're in a crunch time moment for the Golden State Warriors. And I'm like, y'all have agendas. This is sick. We're looking for things to go viral for. This is making me angry. I need to cut this out of my life. And I'm not saying that I'm better than anyone. I'm just saying for me, it was literally making me angry reading some of the things that people were looking for. And here's the crazy part. People were hitting that like button so hard because the negativity feeds. And it's wild to me. Right. It's wild.
I don't understand it either. It sounds like you should contact Jerron Lanier here. You can give him the 11th reason why we should drop our social media account. Joe, missed you. Welcome back, man. I know I'm not alone in thinking that I need far more Shasky in my life. For those who are feeling that way, where do they go?
Well, ButcherBoy415 on Instagram. That's where I will post you, where I post photos of my coaching and me doing sporting things and fun stuff. And even that can be superficial and fake. So I'm not here to pretend like I know that's ruined a generation of young women out there with the Kardashian thing and all that. Trust me. Check me out there or on the morning roast, 95.7 The Game every single morning. So, you know, wake up in the morning, flip us on.
You're looking for us. You can find my texts on the morning roast. They're featured really brightly there, yes. which is the key to everything. No, our social media account remains only on Twitter. That one's at Warriors Huddle. And if you want to shoot us an email, let us know we did a good job, bad job, any job, or just get us a question for the Golden Questions. You can send that too.
We're not done. I want your favorite Warrior jersey to put a big bow on this bad boy. Give it to me, Bram.
Run TMZ. There's no question.
That's your favorite Warrior jersey.
Run TMZ jersey. Those are my favorite jerseys. It's not close. I can't separate the nostalgia, right? You know, like I look back at Jordan as a superhero because of how old I was when he was playing. It's not a sports analysis. It's just how I was looking at that.
Yep.
I have a similar relationship with Run TMC. You know, I was a little older, but like I view them in that light. And so anytime I see that font, anytime I see that, you know, the star where the where California is, it makes me smile. So it's not close. As an East Bay guy, I'll have you know that when you said the cable car thing, I screamed "fuck you, Joe" into the radio. But I, you know, the rest of it we agreed on.
But I rounded it out. Like to me, and I have both of these jerseys. I think the town with the tree should be one of their staples that they wear in rotation. Yeah. I think it's one of the dopest ones that they make. The way the lettering, it actually has a Star Wars feel to it, coming around the neck. Like that Slade jersey is so clean.
No, and I'll have you know that you and I agree on the flower thing. If you need to tuck in a large portion of the design to make it work, well, then it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Exactly. Why do you even have it on there?
Maxine, what's yours? I'm sorry, man, to hijack the ending here.
I don't know.
You totally stole mine too. I have an authentic Steph Curry Oaklandish jersey. That's definitely my favorite one. The only thing that makes me sad about it, and I agree actually, the Run TMC era, because it's so ubiquitous, right? It's transcended basketball. Yeah. It's just a representation for Bay Area culture. I mean, like all the homies had those hats growing up, right? With the star on the California. It's so sick. It is the coolest jersey for sure. The only reason that one beats out the Oakland jersey for me is because like it's bittersweet, right? It was their last season in Oracle. And it's like, it's a reminder. It's like a precursor to them finally releasing a jersey that says Oakland on it when they're not even in Oakland anymore. Like talk about complete pandering. And so I can't help but relate all of those things together. And it feels like a reminder of the end of an era. And so it makes me a little bit sad, but I still wear it with pride.
I'll put a bow on this with an embarrassing story. So the only jersey I have is a Jay Rich jersey from when he played, from when Thunder was on it.
Yeah.
You know? And the only time I wear it is Halloween. I wear it every year, always walk around. And no one's ever really commented on it. And this year I threw it on and I'm walking around with my 7-year-old. And she watches some of the games with me, not a whole lot of them. And she looks up, sees me in it, sees my t-shirt underneath it, and goes, "Daddy, the players don't wear a t-shirt underneath the jersey." And it's like, well, sweetie, the players aren't strangely overweight and don't look totally ridiculous in a jersey. So it is what it is. But to pick up where we dropped it, Maxime, where should they send that email?
Huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
With that in mind, go Warriors. We'll see you next week.
Go Dubs.
Good, good.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.